Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Charity Charge Show. Today, I am honored to have on Robert Ferrari, who is the Executive Director of the Gateway Center of Monterey County. Robert, thank you so much for being on with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. And thank you for getting my name right. Not everybody does. Thank you.
Well, I tried. You're very welcome. It's my pleasure. You know, I want to say it was really great. I know we've chatted before, and when we did that, something that I really appreciated was just your journey as a nonprofit leader. And so I wanted to start this episode. I'd love for you to just first to share with the audience about your work specifically at Gateway Center of Monterey County. I want to make sure we get the word out about that. I want people to know, the mission and what you guys are doing out there. If you could start there, it'd be great.
Absolutely. Yeah. So here at Gateway Center of Monterey County, we work with adults with developmental disabilities of all types, whether it's autism or different other things that they could potentially have. We work with them in a variety of ways. We have residential centers here on our site in Pacific Grove. We have two what's called ICFs, intensive care facilities, where we care for 30 adults, as well as we care for adults who come in during the day. They come in around 8, they leave about 3 and go home. But during the day, they're quite active with art and with what else do they do? They do technology, they do puzzles, they play bingo, they go out in the community and have a lot of fun. So, and we also have other programs. We have a really great program that's fairly new called Without Walls. And those are mostly younger adults who have aged out of the education system. In the education system, they can go up to the age 22. And after that, they're done. And so we bridge the gap after that, and we provide them, again, opportunities to continue their education, to continue their life skills, and to continue with self-confidence and continue to be with peers. And they really do enjoy that. But the program has been around since 1963, started with a group of family members who couldn't find care and schooling for their young people with a disability. So they started their own program. And then these very young people then became elementary age, so the program grew for that. Then they became teenagers, so the program grew into that. And then they became adults. So Gateway has been an adult program. And so rather than sort of move them on their way, we've grown with them. We have residents who have been here for 35, 40 plus years.
I love that concept, adapting with where the needs are. It's really amazing. And I really was not aware of that. And that's part of why obviously I love these podcasts, because it's very just moving and inspirational. Mm-hmm. And there are so many problems, you know, that organizations out there are trying to solve, but it's so important not to just push those problems away and try to just say it's someone else's. So I think that's great. Something I wanted to ask you, Robert, was I know that you've been with Gateway Center for a little over 2 years now.
Correct.
And talking about, you talked about how it's, you know, over 60 years old. I'm curious, what are some of the positive things like coming into an organization that's that old as an executive director? Right. And then what are some of the challenges where you've tried to revamp or change things or bring best practices? And we'll get into it later on, but I know obviously you've been executive director and a leader of other organizations. So can you talk to us about kind of that, some of the things that were in place that have been carryovers that are great, and what are some of the other things you've worked to change and tweak to bring kind of the organization up to speed?
Sure. I think even when I first toured the facility, because again, when you're nonprofits, you try to combine both your head and your heart, right? You can't be exclusive of one or the other and be successful. But when I came and toured the facility, what I saw were people who were completely engaged with the residents and the clients that they cared for. Because what I look for, and what's really my theme here now, is care and compassion. And I saw a lot of that with the people that were here. And one of the nice things is that you look for both. You look for a lot of stability in staff, stability in board members, and we have staff who have been here 20 years. I have one staff member who's been here 38 years and has seen a lot and has grown a lot with the program. So there was a lot of positives in terms of we're doing the right thing for the right people with the right people. And then in terms of challenges, anytime you come to an organization that's been around for a long time, there are habits that are really hard to break. There are things that people have done for a while. And when you come in and say, hey, you know, let's talk about this. And there, you know, human nature is to sort of default to what you're comfortable with and what you're used to. But when you're trying to build an organization and reshape an organization, there has to be the opportunity to really analyze things and to really say, hey, is this really best practices? Is this really the best way that we should do it today and into the future? This organization, when I got here, had a lot of success, and it was in the past. So people continue to rely on past successes rather than look at future successes and future abilities and future opportunities. And so there was a little bit of a change of mindset of folks of like, hey, let's just do things a little bit more differently. And the other thing that we brought to the organization, I think, was a lot more open communication, ability to be transparent, and ability to fail, because we're going to try a lot of things. We're not always going to be right. But if we don't try, we don't know if we're going to succeed. So it gives folks the opportunity to be innovative and cutting edge and try things that they think is the right thing to do without having to worry about reprimanded if something sort of falls out of place. Unfortunately, you put yourself on mute.
Oh, that's the first time. Unbelievable. Well, I had told people, you know, I actually hadn't mentioned this before, but I hit record, anyone that's listening, I'm actually having my gutters clean, and it was supposed to be in the morning, but it's in the afternoon, so we're just kind of rolling with myself on mute. But thank you, Robert.
No worry,
Robert. What I wanted to, you know, reference going back to the late 90s, mm-hmm. you've had executive director roles, you know, at various different organizations, and I know you've been a chair and volunteer and president of Rotary clubs and, mm-hmm. and just been very involved as a nonprofit leader. What are some of the, can you talk to us a bit about the evolution of the industry? Like, for example, I can imagine digital fundraising and online fundraising.
Right.
I mean, you saw that whole thing mm-hmm. get created. What can you talk about that? Can you talk about just, what are some of the biggest changes that you've seen over the past, you know, 2 to 3 decades?
Right. So let me start with what I think is the same. What I mm-hmm. think is the same is relationships, right? Building relationships with stakeholders, donors, the community. Those are consistently the same. When I started, you talk to people. Now you still talk to people, but you have a lot more formats to do it and different ways to do it. And because there's so much going on that you have to get to it right away. So that's different. Where before, when I started, I could sit with the donor for 45 minutes, an hour in a classroom and talk about the good things that we're doing and how they could help us. Now I might have 3 minutes to get someone's attention, right? There's so many nonprofits, there's so many format, and people do things a different way, right? So it's really being able to hone in on what is our message, who's that message to, and how can we get them to help us? And there's so many different ways now that those are great opportunities. But if you're not savvy in everything, then you are missing out on some of those opportunities, right? I still enjoy giving people tours. I still enjoy those face-to-face opportunities. And to me, those are still solid. And at the same time, we're trying to here build our network of supporters. So there are folks on the fringes that we still have to get to, because, you know, sort of my stance on this is once I can tell people what the great work that we're doing here, they're going to want to be supporters, right? So it's kind of catching their attention in the format that they're used to or that they're most comfortable with.
Got it again. Excellent. I really appreciate you. Really appreciate you sharing that. Can you also talk us through a lot of, you know, we work with a couple thousand organizations, and when I'm talking usually, you know, one-on-one in a confidential private setting, a lot of times what comes out from the leader of the organization is the stress that they feel, you know, it's lonely being at the top, right? And I know that being the founder of Charity Charge, we're a social enterprise, but we are set up as a for-profit business. And I think that there's a different level of stress that comes with being an executive director of an organization, because you've got a board you've got to deal with. You've got, you know, obviously employees that have all sorts of challenges. And not saying there's not great things, but I know it can be lonely and I know that it can be tough. So I'm just curious, like, over the years, as you've grown and you've matured, what are ways that you've found that help you stay positive when maybe things seem really challenging? Or what are ways that you try to help kind of manage your board? I imagine over the years you've had good boards and bad boards, and you figured out, you know, the right way to structure that and everything. Can you talk a little bit about that? I know I rambled on. I can rephrase the question.
No, I think I get the gist of what you're asking. And I think that, yes, being an executive director can be a little bit lonely at the top, because there are lots of things that you do that don't go noticed, right? There's lots of things, lots of communication, you know, reviewing financials, doing work outside the facility. And sometimes you have to be careful, because the good work that you do outside the facility to raise funds and to raise awareness makes it look like you don't much care for what's going on in the facility because you're never around, right? So you have to sort of balance that as well. And boards, I think, you know, the boards can be great, but all boards want to know, you know, what's their purpose and what they can do, just like anyone else related to the organization. So I think you have to, early on, especially as board members come onto your organization, sort of set some expectations, but check in with them constantly and consistently to make sure they're feeling that they're part of the organization, because their intent to join you is great, but you have to make sure that you're coming to an area where they can feel successful, they can feel part of the organization, and they're doing what you need them to do, right? If somebody's out trying to, you know, have a bake sale for you, that's not really going to be helpful. So you don't want to go down a track that they put a lot of work in that's not going to help the organization over well. So it's really educating them on some real needs, and really it's making sure that everybody understands the mission and the vision and that we're all in on that. And so that helps. And in terms of, yeah, there have been rocky roads over the years. And I think the thing that's always kept me going is that mission focus, to make sure that even if it's been a tough day or we didn't win that day or whatever it was, that we're still on track to meet our mission and meet the needs of our clients. So I know for me, occasionally it's been a rough day. And you know, it usually it's the day that I've been here maybe an hour too longer than I expected. Before I leave, I'll walk into our residential facility and I'll sit and spend 20 minutes with one or two of the residents. That'll remind me why I'm here and why we all do the good work that we do. That recharges me more than anything. So I can leave for the day, be ready to go and hit the challenges the next day. And it's really about the people that you serve. And if you're doing a good job with that, your batteries will stay charged.
Appreciate you sharing that. Yeah, you do always have to find something to kind of bring you back. I'm just kind of reflecting internally of just different, you know, moments where it's been challenging. I've had to bring me back up. For me, I found that it's usually seeing the excitement in an employee of mine, or, you know, because then that brings back kind of that enthusiasm and passion. I'm a solo founder of Charity Charge. So for a while there, it was just me pushing the dang thing uphill.
Right.
That was so lonely and almost felt so impossible because I had no one to shoulder the emotional burden of,
right,
and the kind of mental stress of trying to get an idea off the ground back in the day. But happy where we are. And then when I speak with the organizations that we're helping, that really does fill me up. So that's great. Right. I really appreciate you sharing that. I mean, sitting here and reflecting.
I would say, too, the other thing that makes, you know, nonprofit executors successful, in my opinion, is having a good network of folks that you can call on or talk to. I've been blessed with being able to attend nonprofit executive sessions in both Stanford and in Harvard. And I have, you know, a circle of about a dozen people that I can always call on if I'm just stuck. Right. I can email somebody, hey, you have 15 minutes. I need to work through something, or other people I know have had similar challenges, to be able to call on them, or on occasion just sort of gather and just talk things through. It's really important to have folks who sort of know very similar pangs that you're having And it's really just someone who sort of reflects on what you're doing. They don't always have the solutions for me, but they definitely help me process information that I need to process in an analytical and in an emotional way.
That's a really good point. Yeah, I've always appreciated mentors, right? Yeah. And other, yeah, that's so awesome to say that. I want to start to kind of round out the interview, but what I want to close with is sort of talk about from the perspective of young people that are interested, whether they're in high school, college, they're interested in having a career in the nonprofit space. I mean, I know obviously you've been in leadership positions for a while, but did you set out to be an executive director?
Not necessarily, but I did have in mind to do good, right? And that was broadly. My degree is actually in recreation administration. And so I was, you know, started my work with City of Thousand Oaks in Southern California, doing programs for youth and teens and special events. So I sort of set out to work in the public benefit in some way, but you know, like most of us, we sort of then have to be fluid with opportunities. So I've done a lot. You know, I worked with Boys and Girls Club, YMCAs, you know, a ton of different nonprofits in housing and homelessness and education and now with adults with developmental disabilities. So it wasn't initially this. I couldn't imagine 35 years ago that I'd be sitting here as an executive director running this kind of program. But I knew that I wanted to do some good in the community, and the path's been laid out for me pretty nicely.
Well, and I find that, I mean, for myself, even like starting Charity Charge was daunting, because sort of knew where I wanted to be, but I didn't know all the steps to get there.
Right.
And then I finally had to have a realization that I needed to get out of my own way. Mm-hmm. And I just needed to just do it. I didn't need to have the perfect plan. I just needed to take one step, and then I would take another step, and things right. would just start unfolding, you know, and that took me a right. while to realize, but it's been a really great, as I've, you know, been maturing into adulthood, to have that mindset. And so I think part of the lesson that you're sharing there, if there's young people joining sure. that are interested, is just, you know, kind of take that first step.
Right.
You know, and I'm trying yeah. to kind of say, you know, kind of the advice you might have for your younger self or you know.
Yeah, I think, yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, I do tell this to young people, you know, my children were involved in the nonprofits that I ran for years. So they really had this sort of bent on community. And, you know, we've been active churchgoers the whole time too. So we always had church activities that we participated in. So I think young people can do lots of things. A lot, you know, I know a lot of high schools have opportunities for community service or different things that they can do. And, you know, what I would suggest is try a couple of things, right? Whether it's working with adults with developmental disabilities, working with children, sometimes you just sort of find your path by just that interaction. But there are opportunities at school, there are opportunities with in our faith communities. I know a lot of interactors who are young, high school age folks before Rotary, who get involved in Rotary activities and sort of find a path that way. But it's just finding something that you're passionate about. And again, being passionate about something will get you a long way. But it's really important to me, I think, to try a couple of things, to interface with different types of people and different types of situations, so that you find your way and your sort of passion and your path. Because everything that you do, there's always going to be a couple of barriers or hurdles in the way. But if you're passionate about the work that you do, you're going to find success in it.
Couldn't agree more. I appreciate you saying that. I mean, you do need passion comes out a lot, you know, in conversations like this and advice given. But it's so true. You know, Steve, there's I'm going to butcher and I should give him more respect than this, but when Steve Jobs gave a speech at Stanford, you know, he talked about passion and why it was so important. And he basically said, because, you know, otherwise the same people would quit. Like you have to be passionate about it, otherwise you would just stop.
Yeah.
So it's just like so important, whatever that is for people to pursue. And it's unique for everyone. Robert, if individuals are listening to this and they want to get involved and learn more about your work, how can they find out about the Gateway Center of Monterey?
Absolutely. Yeah. The easiest way is to go to our website, which is simply gatewaycenter.org. And we have lots of information there about the good work that we do in this community. My information is there. So anybody who's interested in reaching out to learn more about, you know, their sort of space in nonprofits, I am more than willing to talk to anyone about that. As I mentioned, I've worked in all different sort of aspects of the nonprofit world and the public benefit world. And, you know, anybody who has interest in that, we need more. We need more folks in our nonprofits right now. It's tough. It's tough everywhere for folks to find a real good staff, but nonprofits is really tough now. And again, it really does come back to that passion and compassion for the work that people do in nonprofits, because we're sort of losing the battle a little bit to mm-hmm. folks who the Targets and the Starbucks of the world, who can, you know, right off the bat pay people more. And, you know, good work. And I get my cup of coffee every once in a while. I appreciate those folks. But at the same time, the nonprofit field is really looking for a lot of good people to, so that we can build another generation of folks who will take care of those who need it.
I appreciate your passion on that point. That I want to get into on round two of our interview, because that what you're talking about is kind of next level, you know, in the sense of like holistic, mm-hmm. you know, capacity building for organizations. And maybe that's where your career takes you in the future. Because I can see your passion when you talk about that. That's awesome. Well, Robert, thank you so much. I know we kind of went on a fast pace here.
Oh, no worries.
We covered a lot. And I really appreciate you being a guest and sharing your advice and wisdom throughout the years.
Absolutely.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you again for everyone that is listening to the Charity Charge Show. I appreciate you very much. Take care until the next episode.
Very good. Thank you so much. Have a great day.